and welcome. It is Eric Erickson. It just so happens to be my show, and you get to be a part of it, aren't you special? The phone number, if you want to be a part of the show, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I have to admit, when I saw the video, well, actually, before I saw the video, let's be precise here. Before I saw the video, I thought maybe this is someone trying to help a brother out. It just seems too good to be true. Larry Elder, the candidate for governor in California in the recall, he's leading in the polls. He's a nationally syndicated radio show host. He happens to be black and conservative. The Los Angeles Times has excoriated Elder repeatedly for being the black face of white supremacy, among other things. He's walking down a road campaigning in Los Angeles, and a white woman wearing a gorilla mask with what's that color? Is it? It's pink, fuchsia, whatever the technical term is. I'm going to go with pink, bright pink hair, threw an egg at him and assaulted him for saying he's not a real black person or a true black person. And, you know, I just first heard this, and it's like the ivermectin story out of Oklahoma. It just sounded too good to be true. We should be a little skeptical. But I'm watching the video, and it is Los Angeles. Maybe it's an act, but I think this probably was a real thing. I don't think it was set up. Now, maybe it was, but it doesn't look it. I mean, this is an authentically hacked off woman that Larry Elder is daring to walk down the street. Now, there's a segue here beyond the California recall. Let me spend a moment, though, on the recall. I suspect based on the data that I'm seeing that Newsom will get out of this recall fine. The reason I say that is because people are monitoring those who are returning. And the theory had been those who are most worked up, those who are most passionate, are the people who want to recall Newsom. And therefore, he is most likely to lose based on that level of anger and rage. But it looks like as he has successfully made this a campaign with the help of the media about Larry Elder, he's been able to turn the tide, and it became a Newsom versus Elder race. Now, when you're in California and this becomes a gubernatorial race between a Republican and a Democrat, the Democrat wins. That's just the way it works. There was a way for all of the Republicans to avoid this, and that was to not campaign aggressively. But the Republicans, they couldn't let Larry Elder do it, so they had to go campaign against him, which prompted him to campaign. They couldn't just make it about Newsom. You could have won the recall if you just made it about Gavin Newsom. Now, I know there are people who say, well, it's bound to happen. But if the Republicans just exercised a little bit of common sense, they could have steered this in a different way. You got Gavin Newsom out there. He's campaigning with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, we found her in California. Here's Gavin Newsom.
Now, you know what happens if we don't vote no on this recall, don't you? I mean, this isn't even close. On the other side of this recall, if we're not successful in rejecting this recall, Larry Elder is going to be sworn in as your next governor. I want to sound like Obama, say, don't boo, vote.
There you go. And here's Kamala Harris.
We are here to say today we fight for Gavin Newsom.
Sorry. Had to do
we
the Kamala Harris impression.
Country. We fight for the values we hold dear. We fight for working people. We fight for organized labor. We fight for dreamers. We fight for women. We fight for voting rights. And we stand as Democrats saying we are proud to do all of that and more.
And your little dog, too. Oh, so you got Harris. And see, here's the thing. This is important. The Democrats were able to make it about Larry Elder, and the Republicans played into their hands. And there is a way to avoid it. And I get this all the time from people. Oh, you can't avoid it. The media is going to make it all about the Republicans. Well, the Republicans made it about the Republicans. The Republicans went out and aggressively campaigned. Now, the reason they're doing it is because the way the recall law in California works is you get two questions on the ballot. Number one is, should there be a recall? Yes or no? If yes, who do you want as the replacement? And whoever gets the most votes wins. Not 50 plus one, but the most votes. So you could have someone, there are so many people running, you could have someone with 17% win. If all the other people out there are getting less than 17%, he wins, even though he only got 17% of the vote because a majority wanted the recall. So here's what the Republicans could have, should have done. It's what Arnold did in the 2003 recall against Gray Davis. And it's simply, this isn't about me. This is about whether or not Gavin Newsom has failed the people of California. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? This isn't about what I'm going to do. This is about what Gavin Newsom did. But yeah, you're going to be the governor. You're going to be the governor. Well, I won't be the governor unless the recall goes forward. And the recall should go forward because of what Gavin Newsom did. But what are your policies? What are your policies? What are your policies? Well, my policies are to correct the things that Gavin Newsom did that led to the recall. But we want specifics. We want specifics. Well, specifically, the voters of California think Gavin Newsom mishandled the coronavirus and ran our economy into the ground. And I'll revive our economy and I will deal with the coronavirus in ways that don't have a double standard where I'm in restaurants while I'm telling you to stay home like Gavin Newsom did. There were ways for the Republicans to do this, but they made it about themselves. The moment the Republicans made the recall about themselves, it became Gavin Newsom versus Republican. And if it's Gavin Newsom versus Republican, Gavin Newsom wins. Now, there's still time, but the reason, again, I don't trust any of the polling anymore. You're kind of flying blind in this stuff. But when the people who have gone out there, the smart people who have gone out and said, who has returned their ballots already? Overwhelmingly, it is progressives who are returning their ballots for Gavin Newsom. I mean, all you have to do is go down the list and say, who are the people who have returned the ballots? All right, let's see if we can figure out who these people are. Now let's survey the people who have actually turned in the ballots. And those people tend to be trending towards Newsom. There's still time for him to lose. But the late polling out there, and again, I don't trust the polling, but I do trust the polling averages and the trends. And the polling averages and the trends show that Newsom is on the upswing. And he's on the upswing because he was able to identify Larry Elder as his opponent and make it a Gavin Newsom versus Larry Elder race. That's not Larry Elder's fault. Remember, it's the other Republicans out there, Kevin Falconer and the like, they desperately wanted it. They couldn't abide by the idea of an upstart like Larry Elder, a talk radio show host who's not even a professional politician. Who does that guy think he is? They couldn't stand the idea of him running. So they ran, and they ran as people, as candidates to replace Gavin Newsom, as Republican candidates to replace Gavin Newsom, and that allowed Gavin Newsom to make it an us versus them campaign. And that's what you have right now. If you just focus on Newsom, Newsom loses. Now, how does this play out largely? Well, let's go back to the Larry Elder incident. You have a white woman in Los Angeles dressed in a gorilla mask with bright pink hair, throwing an egg at Larry Elder, telling him he's not a true black person. This is where we should focus because there's more and more studies coming out, trend lines. And again, I don't trust political surveys, but I think when you do deep dive surveys of where the American public stand on issues, you get a better idea, particularly again with the polling trends, where all of the polling across the board shows the same thing. And do you know what the polling across the board consistently, regardless of pollsters, shows? It is upper income white progressives who care most deeply about critical theory. It is upper income white progressives who care most deeply about race and class. And it is upper income white progressives who care most deeply about transgenderism. In fact, Abigail Shire has a book out that points out that statistically, your child will not decide to be transgender unless your family is upper income, white, and progressive. If your family is upper income, white, and progressive, transgenderism occurs in your family. Now, why is that? The supposition there, or really the conclusion drawn from the evidence, is that there is a cultural political contaminant running through progressivism, particularly white progressive households, a strain of white guilt, a strain of guilt about who you are, a level of open-mindedness so open that their brains have fallen out to reality. Black and Hispanic people tend to not care about class and race divides and tend to believe that in this country, unlike other countries, they can get ahead. It is a moral panic of the rich, white, progressive elite in this country who tend to think that black people can't get ahead. And I would submit to you, the problem here is not that black and Hispanic and Asian people can't get ahead in this country, but that they can't get ahead when competing against rich, white, progressive elites who close the doors to everyone but themselves. And they are so full of guilt about it that they have internalized not that they are the ones who shut out others, but that white people in general have shut out others. And American society in general have shut out others. And they are deeply appalled at anyone who is black or Hispanic who has succeeded and takes credit for their own success, because you're not allowed to take credit for your own success in the United States anymore. Remember Elizabeth Warren when she was running for office, you didn't build this, we did? That you couldn't build your factory except for the people building the roads and putting the power lines in and all, so you didn't build that, we did, so give back that. That's the progressive sentiment that runs through rich, white, progressive elite people. They are racked with guilt over their own success. In large part, they have internalized that they are successful and their success means other people aren't, and they get angry with you for being the king of your own destiny and the captain of your own ship because they don't think you deserve it, because they know they oppress someone to get ahead. Therefore, we all must have treated other people badly. And this comes out when Larry Elder, a successful black man, successful on his own merits, as an entertainer, as a talk radio show host, as a conservative, is the favorite to replace Gavin Newsom if this recall goes forward. And progressives cannot abide that. Why? Because Larry Elder believes in his own success and therefore presents as a conservative. And black people aren't allowed to be a conservative, according to rich white progressives. Rich white progressivism is neo-racism in this country. If you are a rich white progressive, you are probably a racist and do not even know it, because you believe that black people can't succeed without yours and the government's help. You believe black people who have succeeded and declared themselves conservative are somehow deviant in some way. You are not treating people as individuals. You are treating people as classes. And in treating people as classes, you are treating people the way a racist would treat them. And you can't bring yourself to acknowledge it. And it presents itself on the streets of California, where a white progressive wearing a gorilla mask throws an egg at Larry Elder and declares him not a true black person. Who is this white woman to declare a black man not truly black because he dares to think for himself? Time to turn your anger off, Erickson. So the problem here across the board is that progressives have decided they can define who a black person is or is not. And the problem overall is that when a black person shows up in society and doesn't fit in the box that progressives put the black person in, they treat the black person badly. It's racism. And yet the irony is this white woman who threw an egg at Larry Elder thinks he's the one who's the racist because he's not conforming to some sort of black identity she's decided. Now, again, I heard about this at first and I thought maybe this was all staged. Maybe this is not Larry Elder putting someone up to this, but maybe someone thinking, hey, I'm going to go help Larry get some free media attention. And then you watch the video. You're like, no, this clearly, this is an angry progressive woman who maybe needs to meet a razor one day and do a little body grooming. But that's the big tip off. This was a true progressive, by the way, a feminist, no less. I bet she has a deep voice and wears comfortable shoes. I wouldn't say I'm a chair snob, but I kind of am a chair snob. Y'all, I sit for 3 hours for radio and then all the writing and stuff I do. I'm in my chair in my office a lot, and I bought one of those super expensive Herman Miller chairs, and I've traded it in for my X chair. The moment I sat down and it began to massage my back, I thought, this is the chair for me. Yes, my chair, my X chair, gives me a massage. It also can heat up. It can cool down. It's amazing. The massage, the temperature control, it's designed and made exclusively for the X chair. Once you feel the customized support of its patented dynamic variable lumbar, the DVL, they call it, your back will have never been so happy. What you do, go to xchaireric.com now. That's the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com. For $100 off your order, X Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. And I can tell you, as a radio show host who spends a ton of time in my chair, X Chair really does have complete comfort. So again, go to xchaireric.com now. Letter X, the word chair, E-R-I-C-K.com. For $100 off your order, X Chair has a 30-day guarantee, complete comfort. It's xchaireric.com. Take my advice. Get an X Chair. I just discovered something very important. When your phone is in, so I'm running the new beta for Apple's, I guess, iOS 15, and I've put it in work mode. So during, from noon to 3, I can't get text messages, emails, phone calls, anything, except from Philip, Charlie, Jim, and Candace, if something goes wrong. Apparently, I've just discovered, if someone calls you 3 times in a row, it not only bypasses it, but forces your phone to ring even when the ringer's turned off. So now you know. In the last segment, my phone started ringing. It's like, I thought I turned it off. And I did turn it off. How does this happen? And it turns out it's my kid who is sick at school and needs one of us to come pick him up. Oh, boy. All right. We got to move on. Dad issues today. Now let's go to the phones. Jerry, I'm going to go to you first today. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Hey, regarding the left and Larry Elder, I think the right calling them the real racists, I think there are a lot of people are missing something, and that is how these leftists and Marxists think. And I think the left, they don't care about race at all. They don't care about gay issues at all. They don't care about women issues at all. And if you don't believe that, just look at how they treat all black, gay, and women conservatives. And I think the leftists only care about advancing their Marxist agenda, and they're always pretending to care about these issues and any other issue that matter, as long as their agenda is being advanced. And I just think people need to start realizing that these people are just using these people to get their agenda passed, but they really don't care about race, women issues. It is not an issue to them. They just use it as part of their big grand scheme of adjusting or passing their agenda. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. So Jerry, part of this goes to the concept of critical theory. And keep in mind, critical theory is derived from Marxism, and it is a secular view on power. So to the extent that they care about race, gender, sexual orientation, transgenderism, income, religion, you name it, they care from the dynamic of power. And they believe that if they can box people together within the dynamics of critical theory based on intersectionalism, that is, based on their characteristics and how those characteristics intersect with power, that they can form a coalition to grab power and permanently keep it. So they do care about a black person, a gay person, a transgender person, a female, a handicapped person, so long as those people will cede to the left the clout and votes by which to take power. So the moment you have a black person who is a black person who does not fall within the box of giving the left power, that person becomes the enemy. Now, why does that person become the enemy? It's not that that person thinks differently. I know a lot of people tend to make this mistake. It's not that that person thinks differently. No one cares that that person thinks differently. The danger is that that person may start getting other people to think differently. And if other people think differently, it withdraws people from the box of power the left intends to use and diminishes their support. So they care very deeply about these issues, race, gender, sexual orientation, transgenderism and the like, so long as those classes of people give the left power. The moment they withdraw from the group, they become a danger because in that danger, they dilute the left's power. That's my explanation for it. Now, when we come back, let's talk about the dystopias out there that the left, including in Australia. Have y'all heard about what's going on in Australia? Good gracious. We're in Brave New World territory of dystopian fan fiction. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. The left. I don't know if they really, how can I phrase this? They're fixated on what's happening in Texas and the Texas abortion law, and they've misrepresented in newscasts. I realize that we're dealing with not bright people, but it's not that the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade in Texas. I mean, here's Cecile Richards, formerly of Planned Parenthood. Listen to what she says. This isn't true.
These laws were not passed because the state of Texas rose up and wanted abortion to become illegal. It happened because of a Republican legislature and a Republican governor who wanted to impose their own politics on the women and the families of Texas. That is where I think, this is where I believe they have gone so far that, and we're already seeing, I think, a political upheaval across the country. I think this is going to begin to determine and enrage women who were already pretty politically active in this last election. I think the fact that now it's not a question of whether Roe will be overturned. Roe was just overturned in the state of Texas. And the only way to change that is to get people to vote.
Now, I know that she believes that, but it's not actually true. What happened, and it bears repeating, and I realize it's a little repetitious for me to keep saying, but you've got to understand the actual truth of the matter here. The truth of the matter is Roe didn't get overturned. The plaintiffs who wanted to stop this law sued the wrong people. And courts, as the Supreme Court pointed out in its decision, the Supreme Court doesn't stop laws, it stops people from enforcing the laws, and you have to sue the right people in order to stop them from enforcing the law, and the plaintiffs did not. And all of the belly aching that you're hearing now is to distract from the fact that the plaintiffs, led by some of the elite lawyers for the left, screwed the case up. That is legitimately what's happening. Here's what's going to happen. The moment someone tries to enforce this law, the moment someone tries to use it to stop an abortion, the federal courts will stop it. Now, the reason is because Roe v. Wade hasn't been overturned yet, so they'll halt it and let it go to the Supreme Court. But the left is really, the reason they're distorting this case is because they're actually more scared about the Mississippi case. There's a case in Mississippi that explicitly asks the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. In so doing, they are probably not going to. I would be very surprised if the court does, but they may grant more exceptions to Roe v. Wade. So all of the bellyaching about Texas is really about the Mississippi case and not about the Texas case. The Texas case is very simply understood as a matter of law. The plaintiffs sued the wrong people. Therefore, the Supreme Court had no power to stop the law from being enforced because the people sued had no power to enforce the law. That's it. That is it. Anyone who's saying Roe v. Wade was overturned is a hysterical moron. That's just the truth of the matter. Now, the left is so focused there, they can't focus on the other things that I think to some degree are beginning to concern people more than just conservatives. Listen, this is from The Guardian. The Guardian is a liberal paper in the UK. The Los Angeles Police Department has directed its officers to collect the social media information of every civilian they interview, including individuals who are not arrested or accused of a crime. copies of the field interview cards that police complete when they question civilians reveal the Los Angeles Police Department officers are instructed to record a civilian's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and other social media accounts alongside basic biographical information. An internal memo further shows that the police chief, Michael Moore, told employees that it was critical to collect the data for use in investigations, arrests, and prosecutions, and warned that supervisors would review cards to ensure they were complete. The documents, which were obtained by the not-for-profit organization, the Brennan Center for Justice, have raised concerns about civil liberties and the potential for mass surveillance of citizens without justification. Concurrent to all of this, the Biden administration is trying to slip a provision into its budget reconciliation process that would require every bank and financial institution in this country to report every transaction of $600 and above out of your accounts, any transaction at all. If you transfer money from checking to savings, if you transfer money from yourself to a friend or a family member, if you write a check, anything, everything, you go to Best Buy and you buy a lot of electronics, you go to the grocery store, you got a big weekend of family coming for the holidays and you spend $600 on groceries, on butter, no less. They want it reported. Now, the reason they want this reported is because the federal government, of course, wants to monitor your spending habits because they are convinced that all of us are actually stealing money from the feds, that we're not paying the taxes that we're supposed to pay, that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. On and on it goes. They simply do not trust us any more than we trust them. The reporting on this, the database collection on this, builds a profile of people. This is one reason why you should be concerned with, for example, a federal database on guns, because we have seen time and time again this information leak out when it benefits the left, when it can hurt the right. In New York, for example, a local news organization was able to get the list of gun owners in New York and began publishing the list of gun owners, which is just a great list of people. Hey, I'm a criminal and I don't have a gun. I need to steal one. Here's the house I need to break into. The collection of so much information on citizens, it's bad enough that we give it. I mean, how many of you have been on social media and you do the little quiz bowl things that people ask on Twitter? What your first name is your first car and your last name is the street you lived on as a kid. It's just data collection for identity thieves, because when they call the bank and they go through, they claim to be you and they're asked all the questions, they know, oh, yeah. This guy said on Twitter he owned a 1996 Acura. I'm going to say that if it's on the list. It's just data. We willingly do this. My team gets mad at me sometimes for oversharing. I just try to keep it real. It's not really oversharing. I'll show you my mess. I'll show you the food that I burned. Not that I ever burned food, mind you. But if I did, I would show it to you on social media. But so many people do this. And it's becoming this hellscape now where the police are collecting the data so that they can continue to monitor and track you. It's not a good precedent to be set. And you will notice it's happening where? Los Angeles, not exactly a conservative bastion of freedom already. It's progressives who are doing this. It's the progressives are in charge of the police in Los Angeles and they're doing it. Now this gets into the fresh hellscape that is Australia these days. I've always assumed Australia was kind of like Texas with an Aussie accent, but not really. Listen to the Australian public health chief.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the new world order. Yes, it will be pubs and clubs and other things if we have a positive case there. Our response may be different if we know that people are fully vaccinated. So we're working through a number of those issues, but we will have to reflect and learn.
A new world order. Australia has gone nuts. Now, you do need to understand one of the reasons Australia has gone nuts is because they got very cocky. They kept everyone out of the country and they kept the virus from spreading. And so guess what? Nobody got vaccinated. And when the virus started spreading, Australia, in fact, because they were doing so well, key detail here, I can't forget this one, key detail, they were doing so well that they gave away their supply of pharmaceuticals, of their vaccine to Indonesia and other Western Pacific countries. They didn't think they needed them. So they gave them away. They were trying to be helpful. We beat it. It's not spreading here. So here's all of our vaccine. And Australians didn't get vaccinated. And now the Delta variant has spread all over the country. And it's absurd. They're tracking kids with cell phones at night to the beach. They're doing manhunts for single individuals who leave their apartments without permission. They're even, in some cases, requiring that you put software on your phone so that you can be tracked for contact tracing. And by the way, it's a conservative government in charge in Australia. It's a conservative government letting them. Now, to a degree, to be fair, Australia has something similar to us here in that they have federal states, and the states have a lot of healthcare power beyond the national government in Australia. So it's individual territories within Australia, individual states within Australia that are going crazy. But it is the populated parts of the southeastern coast of Australia, the Queensland, Australia area, the Sydney area, the Melbourne area, where they're going absolutely crazy with this stuff. Talk about a left-wing dystopia. There's going to be a backlash, I suspect, because Australians do tend to pride themselves on their individuality. They are as close as the British Empire ever came to having its own Texas. And I think some of them, that there's going to be some level of blowback there. It's fascinating to watch the dynamics in Australia right now. But it is progressive policies that are causing the dystopia. Now, there is one place in America, though, where there's this weird dystopian landscape that is deeply red. And it is becoming some sort of weird amalgamation because of the United States Supreme Court. Much to be said about what's happening in Oklahoma. Again, this hour was not themed to be dystopian, but I mean, my gosh, we're here and Neil Gorsuch has a lot to do with it. There's a 5-4 decision, McGirt versus Oklahoma. Neil Gorsuch sided with the liberals on the court and said that essentially half of Oklahoma and most of Tulsa, Oklahoma, hi to you guys at KRMG, might still be Indian country under the treaties from the 1800s. So there have been a bunch of overturned convictions, a bunch of criminals set free. There have been all sorts of tax protests, zoning rules, fishing rules, even the legalization of marijuana. They're all up in the air in Oklahoma because of this ruling. This is the governor who is Cherokee. He says, in our opinion, this is the biggest issue that's ever hit any state since the Civil War. He says that essentially before the ruling that everyone in Oklahoma kind of understood that there were reservation territories and there was state territory. And now because of the situation with the McGirt decision, we don't know which part of Oklahoma is supposed to be Indian territory, and which part is supposed to be state territory. Now, can I just, the governor out there is Cherokee. I think he actually is Cherokee. So let me read you part of this situation here. This is from the Wall Street Journal editorial. Indians living on their own nation's reservation, whose income is derived wholly from own reservation sources, may be exempt from state tax law, according to the Cherokee Nation. The State Tax Commission has a number of protests pending about whether or not they are. A company that owns a power plant outside Tulsa has sought a ruling on whether the county can legally tax personal property within the territorial boundaries of the Creek Reservation. The town of Winchester said it would sue to stop the Creeks from building a meat processing plant and wastewater lagoon, which local leaders argue ignores not only the environmental laws, but also the area's residential zoning. Last year, the Seminole Nation sent a letter to oil and gas producers in the area asking for an 8% extraction tax. Oklahoma officials pushed back. At the time, Chief Greg Chilcote clarified in January, the Seminole Nation had not exerted taxation authority over non-member oil and gas producers operating on fee simple land. But the phrasing seems to reserve right. The governor, a Cherokee member himself, says he's proud of his heritage. This is nothing to do with race. It's about fairness for all citizens. Neighbors in Tulsa shouldn't face different laws based on ancestry. Tribal elections aren't limited to Oklahomans, putting Tulsans partially under the authority of the Creeks all over the country. The uncertainty is huge. This Gorsuch meant well with this case, but I got to ask, is it time to maybe reconsider some of the laws pertaining to reservations and American Indians in this country? We are in the 21st century. Is it time to rethink this at this point? I would submit to you it probably is. If anything, this has turned upside down Oklahoma, where murderers have gotten out of jail as a result of this. And Neil Gorsuch and the four liberals on the Supreme Court, and Gorsuch is he's definitely libertarian, and that's part of the problem here, allowed this to go forward, and the results are having far-reaching consequences, turning Oklahoma essentially inside out, dividing it up street by street. Was this land Creek territory, or is it said Oklahoma territory? They're having a hard time deciding. It is a real mess in Oklahoma. Never underestimate the power of the Supreme Court to screw things up. And it does make me wonder if perhaps the United States government needs to pass a law getting rid of the tribal distinction. Maybe they probably should. It would be for the best. Sorry if those of you in Oklahoma are offended by that, but it would be for the best at this point in the 21st century. Y'all, I got to tell you about Patriot Mobile. In fact, I was talking to the CFO the other day, and it turns out a friend of mine actually got the company started years ago. You know why? So the left started using, MVNOs. They're essentially mobile carriers that use the networks that the monopoly carriers built. So the AT&Ts and the Verizons and the like, they put up towers. Well, the federal government allows other mobile carriers to come on and use those towers. So, for example, Patriot Mobile uses the same towers all the other companies use. But this is where the left comes in. The left several years ago started doing this and saying, hey, you should use our company, and we're going to make it a progressive company. We don't want conservatives using our cell phone service. And then we're going to take a portion of our profits and we're going to fund left-wing causes. So my buddy Chris realized the left was doing this. He thought, we need to be doing the same thing on the right. And thus was the genesis of Patriot Mobile. It's a cell phone company that uses the same towers that everybody else uses. So you get nationwide coverage. You can get 5G. You can get digital. You can get data. You name it. You can get it from Patriot Mobile. And best of all, their customer service is 100% U.S.-based. But they also take a portion of their profits, and they fund pro-life causes, Second Amendment causes, first responder causes. So they share your values. They're the only explicitly run Christian conservative cell phone provider in the country. And they have special savings for large families who have multi-line households and for veterans and for first responders. You can save money at Patriot Mobile. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, patriotmobile.com/Eric, or call them 972-PATRIOT. Remember, it's U.S.-based customer service, so you're calling someone in the U.S., 972-PATRIOT. You get free activation with my name, Eric. They got special discounts. Veterans or first responders, if you got a large household, have multiple cell phones, you should check out Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/Eric, PatriotMobile.com/ERICK, 972-PATRIOT.